to Romans 12:11. Today I want to speak to you on the topic of, do you have to or do you want to? When you got it, you can look up or wave. I'm going to require some interaction today. So, and it says, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Now, we will be looking at different versions of this verse, just to see how other versions word it so that we can put a different spin on it and get more out of it. But I want to ask the question. I want us to take a moment and think, have you grown cold with your relationship in God? So many of us have allowed the day-to-day life to just become monotonous and just drag on. And so, we don't spend enough time with God. Now, I know I've spoken on this before, a couple messages ago, but I feel this is what needs to be brought again. Can you remember the moment when you asked Jesus into your heart? Your feelings? The passion that of you're going to serve this Creator for the rest of your life? When you think about those feelings, have you allowed, or have those feelings diminished at all? Have we allowed life to take its toll? Now, in Romans, it says, do not be slothful in zeal, meaning do not be, don't be lazy, don't be, I can't think of another word, but that's okay. But I want to help us get to a place where our passion starts to grow again. Because sometimes we just look at God as a convenience. Someone that we only call on when we absolutely need Him. When our strength runs out. And while that's not a bad thing to call on Him when our strength runs out, we usually wait until the very last moment trying to do things ourselves when we can't do anything without Him. Looking at this verse again, this time in a different version, the one I read to you first was the ESV. This one will be in the NLT. And it says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Does anyone know the root of the word enthusiasm? No? I'll show you. I don't know if you can see that, but we're gonna try. Enthusiasm. When I looked it up in the dictionary, it says, ooh, I pulled out my phone. Oh. Recent enthusiasm. Origin, Greek enthusiasmos. And that comes from another word, which comes from another word. But when it gets down to it, it comes down to this. Does that look familiar to anyone at all? If not, that's perfectly okay. Close. In God. Enthusiasm. Its root is in God. That blew me away. We sometimes find that when we lose our passion for God, where do we turn to? We don't usually turn to God to find our enthusiasm, do we? No, we try to do self-help books or anything like that. But Luke 10:27 says, you must love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That's enthusiasm. If you can keep on loving the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, you'll be fine. Colossians 2:6 says this, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Later on, Paul gives another reason as to this in 1 Timothy 4:1. Paraphrasing, it says, and the Spirit says explicitly that in those days, meaning the end days, which I do believe that we are in, that those who believe will fall away, who will start believing unsound doctrine, who will start listening to demons. But if you are firmly planted in God, how can that happen? If you are growing in your faith every single day, there shouldn't be reason of concern. I want to ask you, where is your first love? When you think of love, you think of, you know, boy meets girl, they settle down. I'm sure we've all been there at one point or another, those feelings of love. You can tell when someone's passionate about something by the way they talk about something. In fact, I could ask any question to any of you about what you're passionate about, and you could probably go on and on and on. Like Nathan, ask him about the Tour de France, and he'll go on and on and on. He'll tell you things you don't even understand, and you don't have to. You can just listen and nod your head. The same thing should be when people ask us about God. We shouldn't have to stumble our way. We should be able to give an answer. if you have allowed your love for God to grow cold, then what do you do? Because sometimes it feels like we're walking side by side, and then we turn from God, and it just feels like God just keeps on going, doesn't it? But in actuality, He has stopped alongside of us. He has never left us. And even though we can't see Him, because our focus is on something else, He's right there beside us. And so we can just pick up right where we left off. Reading another version of Romans 12:11 from the Amplified. Never lag in zeal, and in earnest endeavor be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Now, I know War Rangers know the answer to this, but I want to see if the other gender knows the answer to this question. What are the three ingredients for fire? It's all right. We can have fun in church. So if you know the answer, you can raise your hand. I'll call on you and you can give a go. One of them is oxygen. Yes. Oh, I gotta drop my flame. I might need a girl to open this. It'll do. We'll give some blue. Yeah, whatever. All right. Flame. All right. So we got oxygen. What's another one? Rachel. Fuel. Did you ask Jerry? All right, one more female. What? Sulfur? No. You're thinking about a match. That's fuel. That would be fuel. All right, Jesse, what's the last one? Heat.
Who did?
I'm sorry, Roseanne, I didn't hear you. So, in the same way, in order to keep our passion or the flame of our relationship with God alive, there are three parts. Does anyone know, or you could take a guess as to what some of them are? I heard prayer. Reading the Bible. What's the last one? Huh? Spirit of God? Jer? I'm thinking of more of a on the personal level. No. I guess praise and worship could be one, but the one I'm thinking of is fasting. Good job. I'm not saying that any of your other answers are wrong, but I believe that these three things are the essential ingredients to acceleration in your relationship with God. If you want to hear the word of God or listen for the voice of God, I know it doesn't make any sense, but in order to be spiritually fed, you have to physically starve yourself. All the while feeding yourself with the word and with prayer. But again, we usually don't do these things as often as we should because life gets in the way. And we're okay with that because that's just how life is. Right? The Israelites had the same problem. Now, God's hatred, I want to talk to you about the high places in our lives. Now, the high places were places of adultery, of idol worship. And God's hatred of these, he told the Israelites to destroy them when they were going into the land of Canaan. But this was only half accomplished. And years later down the road, in the later years of Solomon's life, he allowed his heart to go astray because of all of his wives. And he built high places for the gods of his foreign wives. And he even worshipped there himself. And because of the seriousness of this, God divided the nation. Not only did Solomon fall to this level, but he also set the spiritual level of the nation of Israel for the hundreds of years to come. If you don't think your choices affect others, just look at Solomon. Following this, each new king that ruled in the southern kingdom of Judah and in the northern kingdom of Israel are evaluated in the books of Kings and Chronicles according to what they did with the high places where the false gods were worshipped. In Judah, Asa is called a good king because he removed the Asherah poles, idols, the sacred prostitutes, but he did not destroy the high places. If you don't destroy the root, the symptoms are going to come back, even worse. Jehoshaphat was a man of God who followed in the ways of David by seeking after God, but also he did not remove them. At first he did, but he didn't totally eliminate them from Judah. The other Judean kings, Amaziah, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Manasseh, allowed the people of Judah to continue worshiping at their high places. Although several are called good kings, their obedience was incomplete. Only Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 18 and Josiah in 2 Chronicles 23 had the courage to destroy the high places in the land of Judah. Only these two kings, or because of that, they are able to bring about major revivals in their nation. What are the high places in your life? Is there something that the Spirit is speaking to you right now that maybe you need to remove? What would happen if we tore them down? As we sang in the song service before, surrendering all. What would happen if we surrendered all? What would happen to the church? Would it decrease or would it increase? In 2 Corinthians 2:14 to 16, it says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life." In some translation says death and doom, and the other the fragrance of life. I believe we can take this and apply it to our relationship with Christ. If we are not growing, we are becoming stagnant. And just like a pond that has no flow of water, eventually muck starts to grow. There's not much life in there besides bugs and snapping turtles and frogs. But if we are growing our relationship with Christ, of asking God for new revelations from him every day, we are like a river, constantly flowing, not allowing the muck of life to grow on us. Would you rather be a pond, or would you rather be a life-giving river? If the music team could come up. What has God been saying to you? I want you guys to take a few minutes as they play softly to ask God what he wants from you. I would love to see this church grow. But if we aren't growing, how can our church grow? How can we be a fragrance instead of an odor? There's no official dismissal, but I would request that you do take a few minutes and actually ask God what he wants of you.